యశోర నందన బ్రజజన వందన యశోర నందన బ్రజజన వందన యమున కిరవన జయ రాధమారి కపి జన్మా వల్లభా కిరవరారి యశోర నందన బ్రజజన వందన యశోర నందన బ్రజజన వందన యమున కిరవన జయ రాధమారవ సుందరి కపి జన వల్లవ గిరివరదారి జయ రాధమారవ సుందరి కపి జన వల్లవ గిరివరదారి విష్ణుపాద్ పరమహంస పరిపూజ్య ఆకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర సత్య శ్రీ శ్రీనాథ్ హిజ్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ శ్రీ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీ ప్రభుపాదికి ఆనంద కోద వైష్ణవుందికి ఇస్తాన్ ఫౌండర్ జాయ్ హిజ్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ శ్రీ ప్రభుపాదికి గో ప్రేమనంది వాయిస్ ఆఫ్ ది అసెంబ్లీ ఆఫ్ వోటర్స్ వాయిస్ ఆఫ్ ది అసెంబ్లీ ఆఫ్ వోటర్స్ All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Vodhanasana Devakti Vedanta Swami Nityananda. Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Vijayana. Vira Vishesha Shunya Vari Pasachi Devi Sitaya. Hare Krishna. Every time I sit down here, they check the microphone to make sure I'm speaking loud enough.
Yeah. Now they pay attention.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So this morning we're continuing our reading of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 7, text number 10. Same verse we did yesterday, Nagarjuna. We have a very nice lecture on this. He covered part of the purport, and I'll cover the rest of the purport today. Suta uvacha.
Suta uvacha.
Atmaramascha munayo.
Atmaramascha munayo.
Vigranta apyurukkame.
Vigranta.
Kurvanti yahaitaki bhaktim.
Kurvanti yahaitaki bhaktim.
Ittam Bhuta Guno Hare.
Ittam Bhuta Guno Hare.
Suta Uvacha.
Suta Uvacha.
Atmaramascha Munayo.
Atmaramascha Munayo.
Nigranta Apyurukkame.
Nigranta Apyurukkame.
Purvanti Yahikatim Bhaktim. Itam Bhuta Gano Hare.
Itam Bhuta Gano Hare.
Atmaramascha Munayo.
Atmaramascha Munayo.
Nigranta Apyurukkame.
Nigranta Apyurukkame.
Purvantyaitim Bhaktim.
Purvantyaitim Bhaktim.
Itam Bhuta Gano Hare.
Itam Bhuta Gano Hare.
Translation. All different varieties of Atmanamas, those who take pleasure in the Atma or Spirit Self, especially those established on the path of self-realization, though free from all kinds of material bondage, desire to render unalloyed devotional service unto the personality of Godhead. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including liberated souls. So just a little review of the first part of the purport. As I said, Nagarjuna did a very nice job of following the meanings of the different words of the verse and explaining to us what is actually meant by the term Atmarama. And Srila Prabhupada discusses in the purport three types of Atmaramas: those that are seeking fulfillment and materialistic enjoyment, those that are after mystic powers, and those that are seeking liberation. So these are all understandings of the word Atmaramas. But in the purport, Prabhupada distinguishes these three from unalloyed devotion. And he establishes that loving transcendental service is attractive to the Atmaramas. So we'll discuss what is the essence of this transcendental loving service or bhakti rasa. But let's pick up Prabhupada's purport where he begins to discuss this.
Mm-hmm.
According to the Hari Bhakti Surudaya, the import of the word Itam Bhuta is complete bliss. Transcendental bliss and the realization of impersonal Brahman becomes comparable to the scanty water contained in the pit made by a cow's hoof. It is nothing compared with the ocean of bliss of the vision of the personality of Godhead. The personal form of Lord Sri Krishna is so attractive that it comprehends all attraction, all bliss, and all tastes, rasas. These attractions are so strong that, and I don't know if you can see it, but in the purport, these words are italicized for emphasis. Okay. These attractions are so strong that no one wants to exchange them for material enjoyment, mystic power, and liberation. There's no need of logical arguments in support of this statement, but out of one's own nature, one becomes attracted by the qualities of Lord Sri Krishna. We must know for certain that the qualities of the Lord have nothing to do with mundane qualities. All of them are full of bliss, knowledge, and eternity. There are innumerable qualities of the Lord, and one is attracted by one quality, while another is attracted by another. Great sages, such as the four bachelor devotees, Sanaka, Sanatana, Sananda, and Sanat Kumar, were attracted by the fragrance of flowers and tulsi leaves anointed with the pulp of sandalwood offered at the lotus feet of the Lord. Similarly, Sukadeva Goswami was attracted by the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Sukadeva Goswami was already situated in the liberated stage, yet he was attracted by the pastimes of the Lord. This proves that the quality of his pastimes has nothing to do with material affinity. Similarly, the young cowherd damsels were attracted by the bodily features of the Lord, and Rukmini was attracted by hearing about the glories of the Lord. Lord Krishna attracts even the mind of the goddess of fortune. He attracts, in special cases, the minds of all young girls. He attracts the minds of the elderly ladies by parental affection. He attracts the mind of the males in the humors of servitude and friendship. The word Hari conveys various meanings, but the chief import of the word is that he, the Lord, vanquishes everything inauspicious and takes away the mind of the devotee by awarding pure transcendental love. By remembering the Lord in acute distress, one can be freed from all varieties of miseries and anxieties. Gradually, the Lord vanquishes all obstacles on the path of devotional service of a pure devotee, and the result of nine devotional practices, such as hearing and chanting, becomes manifested. By his personal features and transcendental attributes, the Lord attracts all psychological activities of a pure devotee. That's a statement that only Prabhupada can make. All psychological activities. Knowing his audience, he's putting it out there for us so that we can further be attracted to Krishna. All psychological activities of a pure devotee. Such is the attractive power of Lord Krishna. The attraction is so powerful that a pure devotee never hankers for any one of the four principles of religion. These are the attractive features of the transcendental attributes of the Lord. And adding to this, the word api and cha, one can increase the import of unlimitedly. According to Sanskrit grammar, there are seven symptoms of the word api. So, by interpreting each and every word in this of this sloka, one can see unlimited numbers of transcendental qualities of Lord Krishna that attract the mind of a pure devotee. Om Ajnana Timanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. So we're focusing on these words, Itam Bhuta Gunau Hari. So I want to give three examples of great devotees who exemplify what we've read here in the purport about how the Lord is so attractive to them. And I think that by doing that, we'll get an idea of Bhakti Rasa, which is the primary thing that we want to cover in the talk this morning. So three examples of persons that show attraction for the transcendental qualities of the Lord beyond the attraction of this material world. In other words, they are Atmaramas, and they've shown what the italics emphasizes, that no one wants to exchange them, the attractions, for material enjoyment, mystic power, and liberation. So three examples of this. Well, one is given in the purport itself of the Kumaras, four Kumaras, who traveled, who had the mystic ability to travel to the spiritual world. So they went to the Vaikuntha planets, and there they wanted to have audience with Lord Narayan. Of course, they were stopped. We know the history. But after the debate with Jayant Vijay was going on, the Supreme Lord himself came to see what the problem was. And when the Lord came, the Kumaras, being liberated great sages, offered their obeisances at the lotus feet of the Lord. And when they did that, they smelled the fragrance of the Lord's feet that had been anointed by Tulsi and sandalwood pulp. Now it describes in the Srimad Bhagavatam what happened next after their attraction. So I'll read the verse and then we can discuss. So Srimad Bhagavatam says, when the breeze carrying the aroma of tulsi leaves and saffron from the lotus feet of the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead entered through the nostrils into the heart of those sages, the Kumaras, they experienced a change in both body and mind, even though they were attracted to the impersonal Brahman understanding. So they were attracted to the impersonal Brahman understanding. They were Atmaramas. They were satisfied in that sense. But when they smelled the flavor of the Lord's lotus feet with tulsi flowers and sandalwood pulp, something happened. What happened? They experienced bhava. Bhava, I have the definition here just so that we can understand. Definitions are actually very important. I've been studying the nectar of devotion recently, and the speakers from the Bhaktivedanta Vidyapeeth at the Echo Village in India, they're emphasizing that Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Nectar Devotion is a book of definitions are very important. If you understand the definitions of all that's being described there, it helps to relish the transcendental mellows. So here's some description of the nature of bhava. And again, the kumaras, something changed. What changed? Well, they experienced bhava. They experienced a particular type of bhava, which is known as sattvika bhava. We'll go over these again in the class today. But they experienced sattvika bhava, which is an involuntary response to the stimulus of the Lord. So the stimulus of the Lord here is what?
Incense.
The smell of the tulsi.
Yeah.
Tulsi and saffron. So that was the impetus. And so they experienced, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam, a change both in body and mind. It happened automatically. It wasn't like they had to endeavor for that. They experienced some change. So here's a definition of bhava. When bhava appears, it permeates our consciousness to such an extent that it appears to become one with the mind, just like an iron rod placed in fire is eventually permeated by the quality of fire. Bhava is relishable by nature, and it also causes one to taste and realize the Lord's sweet pastimes. So, although they are Atmaramas, they experience something higher. And it's that experience which happened to them is sattvika bhava. They realize this transcendental nature of the Lord's existence, and they changed. Now there are other examples as well. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is an example. We know that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was basically an impersonalist, very learned impersonalist. And very pakka brahmana also, following Brahminical culture and qualities very earnestly. But we know that he was also changed by his encounter with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After trying to instruct Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Vedanta, what was it, for 7 days?
Yes.
For 7 days, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu listened, but he didn't ask any questions. And finally, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya ask, well, you're just sitting there for 7 days. You've been sitting there. You haven't. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Yes, I understand Vedanta very clearly, but your explanations cloud things." So, by that shock, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had to rethink his entire life. But fortunate for him, he also experienced bhava, and it was shown one morning early when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared at his home and he offered him prasadam. And what was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's response to that? He immediately took the prasadam. Even though he hadn't bathed, even though he hadn't washed his mouth, even though he hadn't performed his morning duties. These things are the life of a brahmana like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So why would he immediately take prasad of Lord Jagannath and eat it without doing any of his morning duties? Something has changed.
he's experienced bhava, a taste higher than the Atmarama taste that's available to him as an impersonalist. He experienced something higher. And technically what he did is called an anubhava. Again, there are different types of bhavas, and we're going to talk about how they all add up to be rasa. So the Kumaras, they experience sattvika bhava, an involuntary response. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he experienced anubhava, where he voluntarily decided to take the prasad upon the stimulus. So the stimulus is the Lord's prasad in that case. In the third example, and we'll do a bonus question I can ask you if you can think of one after this description. The third example is of Pundarik Vijayanidhi. Who was Pundarik Vijayanidhi in Krishna's pastimes? Vrishabhanu Maharaj, father of Srimati Radharani. When Chaitanya Lila, Pundarik Vijayanidhi appeared in the family of zamindars. He was from a very wealthy family. His father was a big zamindar. He was a zamindar, landholder means. He was very wealthy. And he showed it. He wore nice clothes. His hair was always nicely oiled. Even we get a picture described when he came to Navadvipa to be introduced to Gadadhar Pandit. He was sitting in a very comfortable chair, smoking a hookah, looking at the mirror of himself. Looked like a pukka materialist, isn't it? I mean, this is like the Atmarama of the materialist, to be able to enjoy that kind of situation, fine clothes, beautiful body. But Pundarik Vijayanidhi also showed Atmarama as something higher, because that Atmarama type of existence in the material life, there's something higher than that, and Pundarik Vijayanidhi showed it. And what was the impetus that got him started? Yes. Yeah, he was the verse about how Krishna was so kind to the Putana, and that he gave her liberation. So that quality of Krishna, again, itam bhuta hare, what we're talking about, the words in this verse, but that quality of being so merciful to give Putana liberation struck him so much that he experienced also sattvika bhavas. He immediately swooned or fainted, which is one of the eight sattvika bhavas. But he was also exhibiting uncontrollable behavior, where he started tearing at his clothes and rolling on the ground. These were his experience of transcendental enjoyment, transcendental happiness, transcendental ecstasy. And we can see, I think we can understand from these examples of the Kumaras, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Pundarik Vijayanidhi, that they would not trade this, what is the sentence? No one wants to exchange them for material enjoyment, mystic power, or liberation. So their lives give us a distinction between having experienced transcendental bhava and having perfected oneself materially. Which one would you choose? Which one would you choose? Now there's another, I said there was a bonus question, there's another from Chaitanya Lila, another instance where a devotee was stimulated by Krishna or Krishna's paraphernalia and experienced, in this particular case, sattvika bhava of fainting. Can anybody think? Okay, that's yes, what's the rest? The fan, Mukunda, the physician.
Mukunda Das is the father of Raghunandan.
Yes, and he was a physician.
He went to see the doctor. Absolutely.
The king.
King.
He went to see the king.
He's a doctor.
He's a doctor, and he's a king.
There was a servant fan.
A servant came with a peacock fan, and when Mukunda saw the peacock fan, what happened? He experienced sattvika bhava. He immediately fainted and fell from the platform. Well, the king was worried what happened, and he explained, oh, I have some... He concealed his experience of the sattvika bhava, but he experienced something beyond just this material world and enjoyment in this material world. He experiences sattvika bhava. So these are examples of how, by experience of transcendental ecstasy, one can easily leave behind material life. And even all of you, devotees of the Lord, you have experienced param drishva, a higher taste, and have left aside material life to one degree or another. So, I mean, we may not be experiencing the intense sattvika bhavas like Pundarik Vidyaniti or Mukunda, or we may not immediately be ready to break all of our brahminical habits for the sake of the Lord and His prasadam, but devotees genuinely have experienced something that gives them a satisfaction more than mystic yoga, impersonal understanding, or material enjoyment. I mean, it's a fact. If we look at our devotees, we can see this. And so, given that, I wanted to talk a little bit also in an introductory way about rasa, which is the culmination of experiencing different types of bhavas or ecstasies, transcendental ecstasies. That ultimately is what devotees speak about, and Prabhupada in his purport he describes about how Krishna is attractive to different devotees in different ways. So in the introduction to rasa, Prabhupada in the Nectar of Devotion gives a very nice description of how rasa can be understood. And he talks about things which are impetuses or taste or drive even materialists on. He describes how out of a taste or affection for family, a man will work very hard to see that they have all the necessities of life. Or a great philanthropist will work and donate and give away millions of dollars out of his love for humanity. He gets some feelings from doing like that. And so these give some idea of what rasa is. It's actually the essence of our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the culmination of this Atma Ramas that are being described in this verse. So just a few things in an introductory way about rasa. We know that there are five basic relationships with the Supreme Lord, and we talk about them in terms of madhurya rasa, which is the conjugal mellow, Vatsalya Rasa, which is the parental feelings of protection for the Lord, offering protection to the Lord. What is the Sakya Ras, friendship, and Dasya Ras, servitude, and Shanta Ras, neutrality. Actually, we speak of these things in terms of Sakya Rasa, Vatsalya Rasa. And that's true, but technically, again, I was making the point about definitions, and I think it's important to make this distinction that when we talk about Madhurya Rasa, in one sense, what we're talking about really is Madhurya Rati, or attraction in that particular mood of conjugal love, or Vatsalya Rati, or attraction to that type of interaction. Rasa is actually different in that rasa is experienced when there's a combination of different bhavas. We talked about sattvika bhava and anubhava in those examples we gave. There's also vaibhava and vyabhachari bhava. So when there's a mixture of these five ingredients, then you get rasa. So technically speaking, attraction for Krishna, conjugal attraction for Krishna is rati. But then when there's these type of exchanges between Krishna and the devotee, then they're experiencing rasa. Prabhupada explains this in Nectar of Devotion. He says, the different types of rasa, when combined together, help one to taste and mellow of devotional service in the highest degree of transcendental ecstasy. Without some mixture of these five ecstatic principles, one cannot relish transcendental bliss. So what are the five mellows? The five ecstatic principles, as Prabhupada calls them. Vibhava. This is a stimulus. Vibhava is a stimulus. We talked about the peacock fan from Mukunda Das, or the understanding of the Lord's compassionate nature by Pundarik Vijayaniti. So the first thing that needs to be there is this impetus or the stimulus for a heightened experience of ecstasy. And Itam Bhuta Hare Guno Hari, the last line of the verse today, talks about the wonderful, astonishing qualities of the Lord. And so these things are the stimulus. There's an example here about a mother. A mother has constant affection for her child, but sometimes it is in the background of her thoughts. To relish that affection requires some stimulus. Seeing your child's beautiful face, for example, can heighten her motherly affection to a relishable crescendo. So the example shows the face of the child is the stimulus. And so similarly, in the transcendental sense, Krishna's beauty, the way Krishna dresses, different stimuluses are there for experiencing further bhavas and ultimately to experience all five so you can experience rasa. So vibhava is a stimulus. Anubhava is an action that's taken after being stimulated. We gave the example of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was stimulated by the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Lord's Mahaprasadam, and so he decided to do something to express that ecstasy, that feeling. And so he took the Mahaprasad and he ate it right away. Some other kinds of common expressions that are voluntarily done are like chanting and dancing. We come to the temple and we see the deities, we're inspired by their beautiful decoration, by the incense, by the whole atmosphere in the temple, and we respond by chanting and dancing. People get more ecstatic when they come into that atmosphere. They get more ecstatic. Would it be more ecstatic to have a kirtan inside or outside? I mean, both are ecstatic. But what do you think? I mean, if we're inside, the experience is heightened because the deities are here, the other devotees. We're drowned out by the holy name. So anubhava is an action we consciously take to as a result of stimulus. Sattvika bhavas is the next element. We use the example of Pundarik Vijayanidhi and the Kumaras, that there's not a conscious decision, but the ecstasy bursts out from our heart. So in the it's an internal expression. It comes out. So sattvika bhava. There's 8 sattvika bhavas generally: being stunned, sweating, standing of hairs, breaking of voice, shivering, change of color, tears, and fainting. These have been identified by the acharyas as the different types of automatically manifesting experiences of ecstasy. Again, an element of rasa. Next is vyabhachari bhava, which is like a temporary experience of something. We talked about how a mother with a child, she's stimulated by the beauty of her child's face. But there's other temporary wave-like ecstasies which heighten that experience, just like if the child was in danger. More feelings of love would be there to save the child from a dangerous situation. So that comes and goes like waves to increase the ecstasy. And then the last of the 5 is Stai Baba, and these are things we know: Santya, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. As Prabhupada calls it, continuous ecstasy, or as we generally refer to, our rasa with Krishna. So if we have a mixture of all these 5, then we experience rasa. And so understanding all these things, although it may be a little technical, actually when we read Krishna's lila, after understanding these things, particularly the definitions, then we can see how the different bhavas or ecstasies are being experienced by Krishna and the devotees. And then we also get the experience of that by hearing alone, we can have the same feelings of ecstasy or rasa as these 5 different types of bhavas interact. So that is what attracts the Atmaramas. Rasa, to be able to have this type of transcendental exchange, this is what attracts them, and that they never want to give it up for going back to attempting material satisfaction in various ways. So that's a little bit of an introduction to rasa, as it attracts the minds of the Atmaramas. Any questions, comments? Yes?
How important is it to...
1 minute.
I mean, we can read Krishna book and pastimes of the Lord and just relish them. How important, or does it make a difference to understand the science and the technicality of the rasas like you described or Rupa Goswami describes them?
Well, the more we know about Krishna and how he he interacts with the devotees, we can appreciate more. It's just like if you know a subject matter, if both of us read a description of something, say how to fix a car, and you know the details of how and why a car works the way it does, when you read that description, you're going to get more out of it than when I read it and if I don't know anything about fixing cars. So knowledge increases the experience of anything. So knowledge turns into love and devotion. And so by having that knowledge, we can enhance our love for the Supreme Lord. It's not that we've left behind. We're Atmaramas in the sense that we've left behind material understandings. So just knowing something for knowledge's sake is not what we're interested in. But by knowing more about how rasa works, we can appreciate it more. We can go deeper in our understanding. That's the point of studying, and that's the point of Rupa Goswami writing Nectar Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, to give the devotees a chance to relish more deeply the Lord's pastimes. Yes?
You said something. Mother feels bhava when sometimes she thinks that her child is in danger. What was that bhava you said?
Vyabhichari bhava.
Vyabhichari, kind of a very negative term, right?
Well, there's a couple different terms that are used for the same experience, bhava. Sanchari is another. But the idea is that it comes like a wave and goes. I don't know Sanskrit technically enough to characterize Vyabhichari as being negative, but I can say that it's meant, that the idea is that it comes and goes. It's just like waves of ecstasy. A wave comes and heightens and increases the ecstasy one's feeling, and then it goes away. So that's the function of these Vyabhichari bhavas. There are 33 of them in number. And so if I read the list, they may also seem like negative things, but they're meant to heighten the experience. Grief, for instance, grief is one. Arrogance, pride, doubt, stress, lunacy. Ghastliness. It intensifies the experience.
Vyabhichar, what I know, is kind of an illicit sex.
Illicit sex?
That's the Vyabhichar. That's what I know. So.
Well, the definition I have here is this bhava is not constant. It tends to color the permanent bhava. It is a passing, so we can call it a sanchari or passing bhava.
It caught my attention in the purport where Srila Prabhupada states that the aroma of the tulsi and sandalwood entered the Kumara's noses and went through came through their noses to their heart.
Mm.
So that must mean not the physical heart.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the, like the heart of their soul, their being.
Yeah, let me see if I can find the exact.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Not yet. But there's another example of someone going into ecstasy immediately in Chaitanya Lila, and that's Jagai Mudda. Because when the Lord showed up on the scene after they threw the... Did Mudda throw it? So Mudda hit Nittai and he was bleeding. The Lord showed up, chakra, chakra, and he was about to kill him. And Nityananda said, Lord, Jagai stopped him. And immediately the Lord gave his mercy to Jagai. Jagai fell on the ground and went into ecstasy, exhibited all the symptoms. Mm-hmm. How merciful is Lord Chaitanya? Mm.
That's actually the main feature, a main feature of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent, is to show so much compassion and mercy to the conditioned souls. If we could actually understand the compassion that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has exhibited to us, we'd all be like Jagai Madai, rolling on the ground. Like,
it gives me hope when I think of the Jagai Madai Lila, you know, I mean, how rascal they are, and still the Lord gave them love of God.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
I was going to, I was just thinking whether to say or not say. Because Mother Madhumati made it a nice hit point. How do I word it? I don't want some devotee to think like talking about tasting or experiencing, it's something taboo, that Prabhupada did not talk. It's a wrong idea, wrong conception.
Mm.
Because if we look at our practice, what the practice we do, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the first verse he gave, Cheta Darpana Marjanam, cleaning the heart. What's supposed to happen after that? At the end of the same verse, this is just the beginning. He said, Pratipadam Purna Amrita Ashadanam. Ashadanam means experiencing, relishing. Every step. And in the introduction of Nectar of Devotion, which is summary of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Prabhupada says many things, but few points like I remember now. He said, no one can live without loving someone.
Mm.
Very like a key point Prabhupada writes, no one can live without loving someone. And then why this Bhakti Rasa is so important? He gives the Rasa here, mellow means ever fresh and is eternal. From his translation, I pick those words. It's like the same thing Rupa Goswami Pad says, but Prabhupada gives a very simple way. That all other rasa, all other experience we have, it's temporary and stale and it disappears and it disappoints.
Mm.
But when we say bhakti rasa amrita sindhu, rasa here is eternal. Whatever they are experiencing, they can go back and experience. Mother Yashoda, after a million years, she is experiencing that Putana came and tried to take her son away. And she feel ecstasy and grab Krishna and experience this, and Krishna experience this. This stays eternal. Sanatana Goswami Pad says. So Prabhupada made a very nice significant point in the introduction. And he says, second point, as you mentioned, like, what is the impetus for anybody to do anything, whether it's a family man or politician or anything? Prabhupada gave a very nice, I thought, best summary of that Nectar Devotion in the introduction.
Mm.
So we should thrive for this spiritual experience, spiritual taste. Otherwise, what we are doing for?
Oh, definitely.
Thank you.
Definitely.
And one example I was thinking, Arjuna's case, all these five components was there. That Arjuna had a sthayi bhav. Sthayi bhav is the main of the five component to make it rasa. Arjuna's component, main sthayi bhav is his shakharas, his friendship. But in the universal form, when it manifested, Anubhav and Sattvik bhav, what I understood, difference is that one, you are consciously, you read, I think you said that,
intelligence is applied. I want to dance. I feel like to dance. So Arjuna felt such a disturbance in his relationship with Saiba that immediately started thinking, oh my God, he is not my friend. He is by himself, for himself, of himself. He doesn't need anything, anybody. So it disturbed him, so he started paying obeisances. He chose to pay obeisances, and Prabhupada translate all direction. So that's called anubhav, means he chose to. But as per hair standing, trembling, he did not choose. It's automatically coming, without choice. That's sattvic bhav. Sattvic bhav comes without choice. And then vyabhichari bhav, oh, I called you Jadava, Krishna. Jadava means, how do you say, a smaller kingdom, ruler. Because that's how they used to think. They had no idea. But Pandava is like a bigger kingdom or something. So he felt guilty. These are vyabhichari. So all these five components was there in that example of Kurukshetra.
It's very good.
Yes, it's beautiful.
We can see how that understanding gives us more relish about that situation by understanding how the different bhavas are expressed and combined together. Very good. Okay, Antarashima Bhagavatam.
Thank you. It was a nice class. Another question is, are you getting some of your information from Banu Maharaj's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu? Who is this? Hayden Larson. I don't know who.
Larson is
who? Oh, Mother Srila Ditya Radhidev Prabhu. He's asking, are you getting some of your information from Banu Maharaj's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu?
Oh, yeah. Listen to him quite often.
Okay.
Of course, he's translated Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. But there are also different studies of Nectar Devotion that are presented in Bhakti Shastri and other courses.
One more from Akhilananda Prabhu from Ohio. Prabhu, is Madhurya Ras necessarily associated with a female form to love Krishna?
Yes. Krishna is only male. You won't find any male in the
Rasa.